So if you want to, go ahead.
I'm the secretary of my bike club.
Okay, well, go for it.
I'm taping, so this.
Okay, Steph, I'll leave you on the call in order.
Steph, over here.
Present with everybody. Dan is absent and Mary's on her way, but she's got it right now. We still have a quorum because we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of the 7. All right, where's my agenda? Okay, first on the agenda, call the meeting to order. We certify a quorum. Has everybody reviewed the minutes from the 2/21, both of the meetings?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make a motion that we waive the reading of the minutes and accept them as read.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And it passes unanimously. Old business. Update on existing violations. Everybody got my note on email that we have the list done, and Jane is in the process of getting it in a printable format so that we can get it out to everybody. So by the end of this week, everybody will have a copy of that.
Who seconded it?
Lisa did. Didn't you second?
Robert.
Lisa seconded?
Robert.
Robert did. Okay. So we'll have a violation list to everybody by Friday. Concrete repair update. Everybody's up to date on what we've done so far, and Michael Chapnick, everybody read about that statement. We have a proposal before us from Stacy Beaumont. Stacy Beaumont's licensed and insured. They gave us a bid before at the same time that we received a bid from we did the fences and the sidewalk pressure cleaning. So they gave us a bid for everything, and at the time we went with All Patriot. This is just for sidewalk work. Now, it's the three streets. Hudson and Moose 13 is probably installed 5x5 sections. Place sections at the 4 different locations along existing common sidewalk.
What's WWM?
Jane, do you have any idea?
No, but I can call and ask them.
No. Includes WWM at all locations.
Some kind of cleanup?
Permit fees and permit expediting is included.
Let me what?
Fencing. No thickened edge.
Oh.
I'm not sure I've ever heard of that, Beyonce.
What does no thickened edge mean? Does it mean that the edge is rounded like it's supposed to be?
Yeah. It would be that, you know, how it has a beveled and then a beveled edge.
It's supposed to be a beveled edge, not a thickened edge, okay. No rebar, which we don't need. We already determined we don't need because nobody 500 pounds or greater is going to be on it. No removal of tree roots or trees. No restoration of landscaping or irrigation. No painting, any surveys, site plan, electrical, civil engineering, or as-built permits. The permits will be installed and paid for by owner. Proposal's good for 30 days. Let's see if there's anything else.
Is this the only other bid we've gotten? No.
We only what I asked Jane to do, we can't do the company, first of all, the company that gave us the
The inspection.
Yes. Doesn't do this type of work, and we didn't want to use them. As if they could recommend a concrete person, then we didn't want to have a conflict there.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need another bid? Do we want another bid?
Okay. Well, as a matter of fact, this was right exactly what they said the additional work would cost. So I'm assuming that.
Well, his was, I mean, I think he had said 12 something.
12,000.
Because he had said 12 something or other because it was, he needed it, we could get it, have the architectural.
Oh, right. And this is the 500.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
The architectural plan, but
yeah.
We don't need, but
so
that's right around.
So it's right around the price point that we had talked about.
Excuse me, Greg. It means welded wire mesh.
Okay.
No.
We don't want to stand for it.
Instead of rebar.
Yeah, instead of rebar, and they're going to pull the permit, and that means that the City of Plantation will come out and inspect it, and we'll have it done the way that it's supposed to be done.
And matching.
Yeah. Well, the matching piece, it's my understanding, and I've talked to, I can't think of his name either, I'm having trouble. Lyle Robertson, and I spoke with Tim Bomar. Both of them told me that if you use regular concrete and you mix it correctly, it comes out the shade of the concrete. It lightens to exactly, when you get the darker gray of somebody mixing that they don't know what they're doing. They're adding too much sand or something. And Lyle told me that because I showed him the other ones that had been done previously, and they came out the wrong color. And that was because not just done, but the ones that's passed.
Yeah, the ones that were done over a year ago. Yeah, it was a while ago. I saw that, I couldn't believe it.
Now, I also want to point out that when we did the asphalt repair work, okay, that should actually come out of the reserve fund. But we didn't take the money to pay for that. It was $7,975. At the time, we had $22,000 in our operating account. And so rather than take money out of our reserve fund, so the money for that is actually owed over to our reserve, to our operating account. But I figured, why bother to take it out if you can get, I mean, we earn interest on both accounts through Bank Atlantic, but if you have a bigger amount in there, you get some more interest.
Right.
So why not leave it in our reserve fund? Everybody with me on that one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so we have almost $8,000 that we should be transferring over.
So we'd only have to take, we take the $11,000 out of the reserve for this?
No. We would take $8,000 out of the reserve that went for the asphalt repairs.
That would normally go to.
And then if you add that to what our balance is.
About, $11, $3,900.
Okay, let me find what our balance is. I just had it not 2 minutes ago. Here it is. Anybody have a calculator?
Yes, I do.
Okay, calculate this.
I got my calculator.
Sherry's got a calculator. 14011.85 minus 1614.
That's it?
No, minus 936.
936. 11,461.85.
Okay. So if we add the 79, whatever, what was the number? 79.95 that we took out. If we transfer that from the reserve, so add, take that 11,461.85.
11,461.85
plus 79.95.
What's
that give us? 19,456.85. Okay. So then we've got the money to be able to do the 11,900 and still have money in our operating fund. Mm-hmm. And we still have monies that we're owed from the attorney. And when I say owed from the attorney, it's from delinquent homeowners. Does everybody follow me on this one?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody got questions?
Nope.
Make sense?
So that's the operating account you're talking about, mm-hmm. For 19,000.
Mm-hmm. 19,456, and you subtract 11,900.
Okay, and that's without, that's not including the accounts receivable. Is that what you just said? Something about what's owed us?
The delinquents.
The delinquents.
Because there's still money. We've got people that are delinquent that Mike Chapman's still collecting on. And so that's quite a bit of money there.
And so our budget, we're still within our budget for this kind of repair, for this extra money that we didn't expect?
Mm-hmm. Remember, we've got a maintenance fund.
Right. Well, and actually, we're only really at about, 2,900? What was it we paid those?
That's what I was just going to ask. What did we pay them?
We paid them $2,400, and we owed them $5,600.
Thank God it was only that much.
Yeah.
Which we're not paying.
No.
No, only the 2,400.
Voting.
Yeah.
I have our budgets here somewhere. I carry that around with me too.
That's not too bad.
No, I mean, I think we're within line with everything that we're doing.
That's what happens when you try to go cheap sometimes and you end up really hurting yourself.
Well, we know Belmar will do a good job. Jane, you've seen the work that he does, right?
Stacy Belmar?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do a lot of work for us.
So are they doing the whole thing at once, or are they going to do this one little section?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they'll come in and do the whole thing. Yeah, they're not, it's not going to be a, and I don't think it'll be a piecemeal thing either, do you, Jane?
No, because they want to come in and get out and get paid. I mean, they don't want to, you know, make a career out of this. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And now you also had AP Home doing other stuff at other.
That was Al.
He had Al Patriot.
Al Patriot, and it was just painting.
Okay, but then he did a good job at those things.
At painting, right.
Oh, okay.
So, but he's never did anything as far as concrete or anything like that.
Okay.
Do you have a motion?
This is a lesson learned.
I make a motion that we accept the bid from Stacy Belmar Construction for $11,900 for the sidewalk repairs.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passes unanimously. I'm going to sign this right now. And today's date's the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
And Vivian, you can co-sign. Okay. My suggestion would be on the sign, the next item on the agenda is the sign at the entrance to 99th Avenue. I'd like to still see it stay on the agenda, but I think that until we get the sidewalk repairs taken care of and a little more money in the bank account built up, then we should probably postpone making a decision on that. Any discussion?
No, it was tabled.
Yeah, that's fine too.
Are we okay with that?
Have we gotten any estimates yet or no?
What we don't have, we have an estimate for, let me get the sign. We have an estimate for the lighting, an estimate for the light, running the lighting, the electrical piece.
Okay.
The sign that we have is not the right one. And so you've got JP that's going to get you a bid on that, right, Jane?
For the lighting?
No.
For the sign?
For the sign.
Yes.
Okay. But we didn't rush for that because we figured
we're not doing it quickly anyhow.
And then we'd need to find out what the permitting cost was.
Okay.
And so those would be the three things. So there's one piece that we have, two pieces we're missing.
Okay.
Okay, so we have a lighting
proposal. For the electrical.
Okay. And
so we need the permit cost, and you don't know that until you know the total cost
right.
of the job.
Just until you know the job cost.
Yeah, tied into the job
cost.
So
we need the job cost estimate and
To know the permit cost.
And permit cost.
And then we need the cost for the sign. So we still
again, the sign is going to be something.
Well, that's the job
like
cost.
The sign that is there now.
Right.
It's a smaller version.
Smaller version.
And a little bit different of material, right?
Right.
Right, so it's not so expensive.
And next on the agenda is the pool deck repainting and repair. Did everybody review, there was a revision to JP's original proposal after, I know everybody has that. I just want to see if anybody has any questions about how he would do it. He did an addendum.
Is that in here?
No, I was given to you.
Probably
meetings ago.
Yeah. It's in my folder and I forgot to bring that.
The estimate was from $3,800 to $4,300, and the addendum was that it was found that the paint is only peeling in certain areas and appears to be stable in other areas. It is recommended that in the areas where the paint peels, we remove as much paint as will come off manually, a floor scraper, and via high water pressure. Then we will etch the concrete with muriatic acid to assure proper adhesion of the new paint to the bare concrete. Sharp grip texture will be added to make the paint more skid resistant. This estimate has been adjusted from previous to reflect added labor of peeling and etching the concrete and adding sharp grip to paint and cost of acid. The tests were conducted in the presence of Smith Moore. That was me. I was there while he was whacking away at it. The areas that are peeling are those immediately next to the pool, right around the edge, the coping.
Mm-hmm.
and the path leading to the bathroom and the miscellaneous areas near the water cooler and by the shower. Those were the ones that were the most noticeable. And then the edges seemed to have not been done properly, like all the way out at the edge of the concrete.
So it sounds almost like it's more labor-intensive to do it that way than to redo the whole thing?
No, well, there's no point. No, if you had to redo the whole thing, you'd have to take everything up that's
okay,
there.
Okay.
And so this is less costly and less labor-intensive than that, but you've still got to go through the process of making sure you don't want to put a paint or something on top of something that's not stable.
Right, right.
And so he's got to check all the areas to make sure that he gets off what needs to come off and then put, and then ask the washers and everything.
It'll save time, too.
Now, my question is, we've got summer coming up. It's the dry season now, which would obviously be the better time of year to do this instead of during the rainy season. We tabled it at the last meeting. We still would have the money to do it.
How long are they saying that the pool would have to be closed? What's their guesstimate on it?
Let's see. It's a couple of days. It has to be completely dry. And
I think it said 5 days.
Yeah, that's not bad. If they did it a Monday through Friday.
Here we go. Work will commence upon approval of estimate by HOA. Work will begin on mutual agreed date. Work to be completed in a timely fashion unless adverse weather conditions such as heavy rain, lightning, flooding, or unsafe working conditions should arise. Estimate of job completion approximately 3 to 4 days to allow proper drying times. And so probably at least a week it would be closed. And so if we were going to do it, my suggestion would be to do it now rather than when kids are out of school. Or do we want to wait till after? Spring break is the first week in April.
It's starting to get warm then, so kids are going to, well, I guess we have to.
They've been in it already.
Well, we only have 1 more week in this month.
Yeah,
and then
we're almost there.
So why wouldn't we say like April 15th? Can we set that, Jane, as a target date?
We'll try to book him for that week.
What do you think about going, any discussion from anybody? What do you think about going ahead with this?
I'm glad to see that he went over it so carefully and determined that we don't have to do as much work as we thought. It's going to be cheaper.
Well, the one thing that he said he would give us a 1-year warranty on the work that he does. If it does come up or there's a problem, he will come back and fix it. He won't charge us anything for the labor, but we'll have to pay for the paint or whatever the materials would be. But he would warranty
it's
it for
cheaper
a year.
Than the labor. So.
Yeah, but he would warranty it for a year. We would just have to pay for the materials if they have to come back and do any repairs to it. I asked a ton of questions.
And you observed his workmanship.
Well, it was on a pole, and he literally was chipping away at it. And some of those areas, like in the main part of the pool, they are on. I mean, you can't chip them off. I mean, I guess maybe if you took a sledgehammer, you could.
Well.
But he was really, I mean, I watched him. He was really going to it because he wants to make sure if he does it that he doesn't have a problem with it lifting off like we've got.
So the whole thing's going to be painted, but he's only going to repair the areas that are...
Yeah. Well, okay. He's going to...
Got it.
And then we have to choose a color. That's the next thing. He's given me the color chart.
I would like to make a motion that we accept JP's...
Highland Handyman.
What is it?
JP? Highland
Handyman. That's the name of the company? That we accept his proposal as written.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously.
Well, I've already looked at, I'm going to tell him to target April 15th and see what we can get from there.
Okay.
That's a Sunday. Monday's the 16th.
Okay, so then we'll
so it'd be that week then, the week of the 16th.
Okay. And you seconded it?
And the alternate week.
I'm going to sign this. I'm going to have somebody else sign it with me. And he always gives us a range because he never knows what he's going to run into. Then the board needs to get together in the next week or two to come up with, to look at the colors.
You have the color chart at home?
I do. So, and we probably should meet at the pool so everybody can look at it at the pool, against the pool house, in daylight, that kind of stuff.
How big are the chips?
Not little bitty. I don't think.
About the size of the, about the size of your post-it notes, maybe?
I don't remember. The size of the painting. I remember, I have the sheet, but I don't remember that far. Okay, so that was accepted. Management report, everybody got the copy of that. The CPA's working on the review and the taxes. Any questions from the financials? Collections, we have turned, everybody's got the list of who we've turned over to the attorney. Everybody's got the, what we're using as a guideline is $500 and above that they owe the association goes to the attorney.
Which, oh, which, this one's with these asterisks?
No, where's your note? Where's your, I dropped it off at your house.
Oh, this, the thing I'm writing on.
Yeah, there
okay.
you go. These, there you go.
Uh-huh.
And that's, that explains exactly like how much they currently owe.
Mm-hmm.
If they got turned over, if they were at the attorney already or got turned over again, it says, you know, it says, you know, if they're already at the attorney,
yeah,
if there's
attorney,
a lien.
What is that? Attorney stamp?
Already sent, no, there's a 5-day stamp.
Oh, stamp, stamp.
Attorney stamp. If they don't respond, then at over 500, they're going to go to the attorney.
Okay. So that's all? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9?
Yeah.
Okay. It's getting better anyway.
It is getting better. Any questions? Discussion?
Okay, so violations.
Okay. Master Association report. Go for it, Robert.
Well, there was a meeting on March 7th, and at that meeting, we made a motion to take money out of the reserves and then send the colonies a demand letter because they hadn't been paying. But halfway through the meeting, after we made all these motions, a representative from the colonies showed up. His name is Ted Beek. And then we said we want them to follow through with the motions. We'll leave them in place, but not follow through pending the checks that went to their office. And the J&L office did receive 2 checks so far. And we're waiting for them to clear.
How many more checks do they still owe?
So they owe 4.
4 more.
4 more.
4 more?
Yeah, because we had been
that was
forward.
A total of 4.
It was 2 months ago. So
okay.
It keeps going on. So they
right.
still owe December through March.
Okay.
And there was some discussion that the Train 4 representative brought forward a demand letter saying we need to re-landscape the front of the Train 4, and there was discussion that we didn't have money and that we needed to go on a walkthrough, so that's going to take place this weekend.
Okay, 1 second.
Tell us the best part about the
Wait. So it was decided, I can't write as fast as you talk. I type faster.
That's okay.
So it was decided to not take action on the demand letters, right? Demand letter. And the next thing was a discussion
about landscaping.
Discussion. I wish I had. I knew.
In front of
Factory 4. Are you taping it too?
Yeah.
Oh, she's saying she's taping it too.
Oh, okay. Maybe I shouldn't bother this. So.
No,
I hope that works.
I'll say
oh, it's Robert's recorder. Yeah.
It works.
Landscaping. Okay. And you're going to do a walkthrough.
A walkthrough this Saturday.
Good. So there was no decision to go in. So they're still insisting that everybody else pay for
hey,
staff.
We're going to tell them no at this walkthrough.
Okay.
We're going to tell them.
Good.
We're going to make motions if we have to at this walkthrough because it's going to be an official meeting. I don't want to take minutes.
Great.
And
yeah, they
and
really
take
do. They really are chippy. They have some nerve. Okay.
So, yeah, that's basically at the walkthroughs this weekend, and we'll go from there.
Robert has excellent pictures to support. Excellent
from
pictures.
Yeah,
from
it proves they cut everything.
From the walkthrough that was done when they before they took out all the stuff. Robert has pictures showing gorgeous green philodendrons.
Good for you.
And he actually has a picture the day that they went and cut them all down. I had him go and take a picture, and they're all laying in the swale, all green and blooming and whacked down.
I didn't know you had those. Does she know
that? She goes, I can't be there.
We're gonna bring them to the walkthrough.
She doesn't know that, no. I know, isn't it possible?
Andrew doesn't know it?
No, Michelle.
Oh, Michelle, okay.
And then it's Michelle.
And Jim doesn't know it, and Steve doesn't know it either. And don't show it to them until they explain, Robert, when they actually ask them why they took them out and who authorized it. And that's when I would present the pictures, after they tell you. Thank you, Robert. Great job.
Anything else? That was it? Okay.
Bid for cleaning the storm drain. Uh-oh, I think I found something I gave it to you.
No, not that.
Here, under here. Okay. We have A&A Drainage and Vacuum Services. There are... Well, it doesn't say how many they're doing.
How many are there?
Quantity 11.
Yeah.
See the quantity column?
Oh, 11, okay. So there are 11 catch, they're gonna clean the catch basins and lateral lines, dump charges and travel time included, 50% due upon the contract, 50% due when work is completed. That bid is for $1,100. Now, do these guys have to be licensed and insured and all that stuff too, Jane?
Yes.
Where's their license number on here? Do they have to put...
The only people who have to put their license number on are people, are general contractors.
Okay, okay. And you've got, you've used these guys before?
I never used A&A, no. A&A was referred to me by someone at South Florida Water Management. PCI Stormwater Solutions I've used.
Okay. Wow, and their bid doubled.
Yeah.
Right.
But
they're doing some other stuff.
Okay, let's see, what are they doing? Okay.
They have 10 catch basins. How many do we have?
They actually say that there's 10, they're gonna clean out 8, and then they're gonna break up and remove the asphalt on CB9 and CB10.
Where is it?
That's on page 5.
Why do they need to do that?
Well, they're just offering it as a, this is something that...
Ooh, I like they did an on-site field report.
You know, that's what they do.
Our probe of 10 catch basins, manholes, and outfalls was found between 2.5 inches of silt sand and drainage basin, had 6 to 10 inches of asphalt that had been dumped into the structure. Oh, my God. It must be removed in order for the system to work properly. No wonder it doesn't work right. OF6 contains its PRB and was in good condition. That's why 11 don't have to be done. One of them was okay. And all other pipes were clean and free flowing. Wow.
These
people seem much more, they seem much more professional.
PC Stormwater Solutions, they're a big company that they do for your 5-year annual renewal that you have to do with. You don't probably have to do it because you're not a gated community, but a lot of gated communities, South Florida Water Management District makes them do it. And they do this, and they're so detailed because they have engineers who work for them. The engineers go out and they measure the, you know, sediment that's in the drain and all that kind of stuff.
Discussion? Everybody need a few minutes to read this? Well, I can guarantee you the first guys aren't going to do the asphalt part.
Right.
Because they don't even know it's in there.
And apparently they just counted 11. They don't really know.
He didn't look in them. I asked him.
Yeah. I mean, if they didn't look in there, then they don't know what it needs.
Our budget okay so far? I mean, will be an extra $1,200 sort of?
Wait, let me get the maximum here. That was the maximum one. It's $4,300. Where's my cap? Give me... Can't put these numbers in.
Okay. Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay.
$19,456.85. Uh-huh. Minus $12,000.
Thousand?
$12,000. Okay. I rounded something off. What did I round off? Oh, the Yeah, Bowmar Concrete stuff.
$74,56.85.
Okay, and then subtract $4,300, because that's the
$4,300?
That's the most the pool could be.
Okay.
Anywhere, somewhere between $3,800 and $4,300.
That leaves us with $31,56.85. Subtract $2,350 is $806.
I mean, we've got the money to do it. I definitely, before we get into the rainy season, I don't care who we choose.
I think it's a good idea.
I think it's a priority. One of these, he even says, is critical.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the, because he went through and did a real detailed report on page 7. CB4 is critical.
Oh, no. My calculator broke. It's only 50 feet.
The guy from Jay from PC Storms Water Solutions said, you know, regardless if he does the job or not, that he says that you should be commended for even looking at this and doing it. Most communities don't, and then it overflows, they don't know why. They can go years and years and years without doing it, and most places only do it when they're demanded to because they have a permit. Since you're not required and you're under that old plantation water district, he said that, you know, it's an excellent idea, it should be done, and he thinks the board was very smart in thinking about doing this.
Good.
Well, that's nice to hear.
I am
leaning definitely towards PCI. I think it sounds much more professional. They really took their time. And I would have a good feeling about them doing a proper job. Something like the cheapest deer.
Absolutely,
anybody.
I think so. We at least will know exactly what we're going to get. And we will look at how the money well spent. Do I have a motion then?
I'll make the motion that we accept PCI's estimate for, how much is it, $2,350 to clean the catch basins, manholes, and outfalls.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Signing it as we speak. Obviously, violations, we'll get the list by Friday. We don't have any new architectural modification forms. Date for the next board meeting. There's been discussion, because as you can see, we have very few things on here to do, to go to a quarterly board meeting. We'll still have monthly financials, monthly violation reports, and any correspondence from homeowners or that goes to James, any notes on all of that. We can call a special meeting at any time that we want, if we needed to get together. But we're really down to just one thing left to do, which is the sun, other than if we have a hurricane, I guess.
Bite your tongue.
Yeah.
I know. She knows I was reluctant to say that out loud, but we're pretty...
Find some wood.
I mean, everybody saw that Ruben's going to be coming tomorrow, if it's not raining,
They look really nice.
He's doing an awesome job.
Really look nice. And he's been cleaning up, too. There's beer bottles that I saw a couple beer bottles the other day.
He picks everything up every day. He's the most conscientious about that of anybody we've ever had. And we've never had a problem with any of the garbage cans. Any discussion about that?
I think quarterly is kind of long. I think 5 months.
Yeah, every other month.
I think every other month.
6 times a year would be better.
Or even maybe every skip 2 months in between. What would that
That's
be?
Quarterly.
That's quarterly.
Is that quarterly?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it would be.
Because
Well, what are we going to have? I mean, my question is, what thing, if you look at last year, we needed to meet every single month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we had so much to do, it was just overwhelming. And from one agenda to the next, we carried over a lot of things, getting things done. At this point, after we've done the pool deck and we've done the concrete repairs, our entrance looks fabulous. Obviously, this year we'll be talking about the tree trimming's already lined up for May, and again in November for the palms. that's already paid for.
Oh, yeah, when Mr. Ponstein does...
It's signed off on, not paid for.
Yeah, but I mean, we're already...
When are the palms supposed to be done?
May, they'll do all the tree trimming and the palms, and then they come back again in November and do them.
Okay.
Because we're under contract.
They do everything in November, right?
Right. No.
All trees?
No.
No, just palms.
Once a year, you do all of your trees in May.
When is that happening?
May.
In May.
May.
Okay.
May, November.
And then they come. The palms need to be trimmed twice a year.
Okay.
So in May, they come and do all of the trees, including the palms. And then if we have any nuisance trees, anything that needs to be removed, we can get the permit from the city to be able to take care of those in May, ahead of hurricane season. And then in November, they'll come back and just trim the palms.
Okay.
So that's all set up. Taxes and the review for next year are also set up. The company that we hired, we locked them in for the same rate for both years.
Good.
So I don't know what we'll be meeting about.
Well, there's the violations to keep on top of.
But we'll be doing that.
We're going to be doing
that every month anyhow.
Okay.
That and the financials every month anyhow.
The committee will be doing that.
And remember, you just have, if there's something that comes up, you can have, you know, a special meeting or an emergency.
And the financials, I mean, how are we going to decide on, well, I guess the financials, everything just gets, we get money in and we send money out. So I guess it doesn't really matter. Dane takes care of that.
Yeah, I mean, email, just like I have communicated about anything that we need, that any issues that come up, if there, you know. I mean, if there's a problem with something like the sprinklers, then usually a homeowner or somebody will email. It goes on to Jane, straight to Chris. The same way that anything happens, you know, they'll call in about it.
Okay, and you want to then tie in the quarterly newsletters with that?
Yep. I mean, I think having a quarterly meeting and then right after the meeting having the newsletter, that way...
Sums up everything.
It sums up everything. Anything, because we're not going to have much to put in there. I mean, everything's already going to be...
Mm-hmm. Same stuff that's going in right now.
More informational, the same thing.
That's true, and there really is not much we can do here when it comes to the violations, which the violations and the delinquencies are the biggest problems at this point.
Yep.
And there's nothing we can do as a board.
No.
So.
Somebody want to make a motion?
When would that commence?
Well, this month is March.
Mm-hmm. April, May, June.
Yep. So and then July, August, September, October, November, December.
Okay. And then when would we would have a special meeting in February for the election?
Yeah, and in November we have our budget meeting.
So right. Those would be your two extras.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
I feel a sense of freedom.
Would you like to make a motion?
You make that motion.
I would like to move that we change to a quarterly board meeting schedule to commence June 2007.
Well, that's now.
Well, no, from...
Now.
Okay.
Effective now.
Effective today.
Now.
Effective today with the next meeting in June.
Say, I'll second it.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Robert's opposed.
Okay, well, now, okay, sorry.
Anything anybody else wants to cover? Open forum, any guests, comments, thoughts? Can we help you with anything?
Oh, this is the open forum now?
But this gentleman has been patiently here.
Patiently.
Sir, sir, what's your name?
My name is Alejandro Popo.
Okay.
9957.
9957, okay.
And I have relatively new.
Okay.
And I need your help in the sense that I've gotten these letters of violations.
Okay.
And I really would like to know where I can look something up about violating.
Do you have your documents? Did you get documents when you...
the
bylaws?
I travel a lot. My wife is here, then I'm here. One that normally stays here is my daughter. So we're off and on. And
it would be a long sheet of paper like this, probably not with a cover. It was probably just plain white.
We probably got it. I haven't seen it. That's why I'm saying maybe.
Well, what is your violation on? Then we can have, what is the violation?
Several violations. For example, And it may state it as a violation, and I would like to know, is there any way that we can talk about it? Because obviously, it may state you're not allowed to do this, but then, if one of us has some reason for doing it, and it's not harming anybody, and it's not doing any wrong, sort of thing, but if somebody some time ago put up a law saying you're not allowed to, whatever.
Well, what else is it?
What we have is the bylaws govern us. And so we can't, like, ignore any of the bylaws.
Okay. On some of the violations, where would you state certain things you're not allowed to have? Shed, for example.
We can have a shed, but it needs to be below the fence line. The bylaw states that there's no permanent structures above the fence line.
Okay. You just said the magic word, permanent structures. Permanent structure, what's the definition?
A structure that stays there, yeah. A structure that is on the property. It's there all the time. It's there all the time.
No.
No.
Yeah, in other words, it's not necessarily that it's that there's a, not necessarily that there's a pad or anything.
And that's why I need your help with the findings.
Okay. You mean it's like a plastic shed that doesn't, that you can take apart?
You can push it, you can move it, it's not fixed.
But it's above the fence line.
But it's not fixed.
But it stays there. It's always there. It's the same, it's the same reason.
You can be above the fence line.
You can't.
Can we define what is fixed? Because,
yes.
Like the gentleman said, normally the rules say.
Permanent structure.
A permanent structure or a fixed structure.
It's a fixed, sir, if you put it in your backyard, okay, and it sits there day in and day out, okay, meaning it never goes away, then it's fixed. Then it's fixed.
It's fixed. Again, we have to define fixed.
We are.
I'm defining it for you right now.
Or move it 2 yards away.
No.
It's in a different place.
No.
Why not?
For example, you have the nice, the canopy, the grower talking about. And other people have had the canopy, we've had 5 canopies, 3 are down. If you were to have a party, you put the canopy up several days before because it's a big deal. You have the party on the weekend, say, you're not going to take it down right away. It's going to stay up another week until you get around to doing it. That's fine. You had it for a purpose. It was there. Why you needed it to have it, and then you took it down. That's not fixed. But the canopy that stays there always is fixed. And the issue is that we live very close together.
Right.
We don't have a lot of space in our backyard. It would be, if each person had a half or 3/4 or an acre, it wouldn't be an issue. But we've got 170 homes in a very small parcel. And so what happens is, if not just you, but let's say 150 people decided to put sheds over top of their fences and permanent structures in their backyards, then our neighborhood would not look, the intention of the bylaws when they put this together is to have the neighborhood look consistent and the same. And you can go to some other communities where they have not, their bylaws are not written the same, or they have a different developer. And unfortunately, what happens is, when you drive through, the entire neighborhood begins to look, because maybe somebody's shed, maybe you have a very nice shed, and you happen to have a very nice canopy. But let's assume that somebody puts up one, and it's not nice, and they don't care for it.
It gets moldy, and it's red.
Or maybe it doesn't rip, but it gets moldy. They don't keep it clean. And their shed, the kids throw their clothing over the top of it. I mean, our bylaws are very specific in terms of you can't hang things over the top of the fence. There's no clotheslines. I mean, it's very...
What?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Oh, yeah, there's no clothesline.
Huh?
My care pass was revoked?
Yes.
Care pass.
My care pass was revoked.
But we didn't write the bylaws. The developer did for a specific reason. I was on the board when we took over. And Sherry, were you on the board?
No, I didn't get on the board.
I was on the board initially when we took over from the developer almost 19 years ago. It was about 18 and a half years ago. And there were a lot of discussions back then because, of course, being a new community, people moved in. And people, you know, even though they got the bylaws before they bought these homes, which at your closing you should have gotten a copy of. But when people get a copy of the bylaws, we don't always read everything. And so people all of a sudden were very up in arms. And of course, initially the developer was the person that they were beating up because they were the ones who wrote these. They owned the majority of the land that had not been developed. And it was explained to us really clearly, also by an attorney at the same time, the reasoning behind why they did that.
And by the same token, I ask a question. I'm not trying to stress. I mean, obviously, you buy a home to live comfortably. When it gets to a point where a canopy is affecting my neighbors, a decent canopy, obviously. I mean, if it starts going bad, would you say, okay, change the canopy or keep it down? But for example, if you like to eat outside, which is we live in a nice neighborhood, building, and my case particularly, I'm not trying to stretch it, I can't face up and polish my skin color. So what do I do?
Well, there is a
couple an umbrella.
Yeah, I was going to say, big umbrella.
An umbrella sticks above.
Yeah, but I take it when I'm going in, I take it down. I don't want to, but the other thing is we do allow awnings. Don't we allow?
No.
No.
What about grills?
No.
No. That's a particular kind of awning over the netting.
Over the window.
Not a freestanding awning.
No, we don't allow any freestanding awning.
No, it's not a freestanding. It's attached, right?
It's attached. No. But a canopy is freestanding.
You mean not for the...
I'm talking about it's attached to the house.
Right, it's attached to the netting.
No. This is...
How about the one that slides down enough that they don't stick out or anything?
Yeah, those are
allowed.
Those are acceptable.
The what now?
Because it comes down.
Yeah.
The one right. Robert Gross has one. He was approved like 3 years ago when Gil.
Yes.
He got permit. He got a
over his.
I know what you're saying. I know.
Right.
I've seen it.
He had a porch.
It's not freestanding.
No. It's attached to the house.
Right.
When he wants to shade his house, he rolls it out.
But the model that he has is not Robert Gross's model.
Which one do you have?
It's one
two
of
story. You have
a
two-story house? So does Robert Gross.
Right. Do you have any of those cage-like porches?
Yeah. It's a small, it's
small square one.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all netted in.
No, it's not netted in.
It's not screened.
That you can lower and you can...
It is screened. Yours is screened.
Like a bamboo screen that you put up and down. I know.
And he's got those on the inside of his screen, right? Yeah.
Well, no, I don't have a screen.
No, it doesn't. It's not.
Oh, you don't have a screen.
No,
but he has the bamboo on the inside. Right.
Because the sun beats in there, so we lower it.
Lower it, and then you raise it.
Right. Well, that's the same model
that
Robert
and
has.
And that's allowed. That's not a problem because you raise and lower it.
Oh, okay. So that is allowed?
Yeah.
Now, the same question. For the garden utensils, the shed that I have is above the fence, obviously, because... The smaller ones, those lower.
I have one. You've seen mine.
Yeah, the lower one.
I have a very nice
one.
It comes right. It comes just below the fence. You can't see it. You're looking at my house, and here's the fence, and it's just below the fence, and they got them at Home Depot. If I was seeing how much cheaper I could have gotten at Home Depot than getting it online, I would have kicked myself. But it's huge. I have my extra chairs in there. I have all my utensils, my rake, my shovel, my weed eater, my lawnmower, it's all in there.
Wow.
And it was like $300 for this.
Mine isn't sticks about this much above the fence.
Yeah, mine doesn't.
Now, if I move that thing in that part, which is roof, so it's inside the house practically, or it's, it's not being seen above the fence, would that be okay?
No, because it's above the fence. It needs to be below the fence, and we've had other people that we've addressed that with, too.
Yeah.
You're good.
Did you buy it, or was that there when you got there?
No, I bought that.
I'm so sorry you didn't read your documents first, because then
I think it's cheaper to just pay someone to mow your lawn. I got the lawnmower.
No, I got a little electric lawnmower. Cost next to nothing, but that's what I did. And what mine has, it has a sliding, the roof slides. It's very convenient.
It's almost to the point where it's convenient if you live in a house.
Well, there's pluses and minuses. We brought in a homeless association area because we wanted the protection of those rules, because I've been to places where there are no protections, and, you know, you just drive down 25th Court sometime, and you'll see what I mean.
But then you look at some of the yards, and, okay, they don't have sheds, they don't have none of those things, just the banana plants they've got. And nobody said anything about the banana plants, you know, and it really looks, as far, I imagine you're talking about that we don't depreciate, in other words, our area, there's not this value. Well, some of the gardens you see, with the plants...
Overgrown.
Over the fence, yes. They go over the fence, you know. So my shed is not really depreciated majorly now, yeah, not mine by other means. And that's what I meant by laws are made to accommodate people, not people accommodate the law.
Unfortunately, if we accommodate the law for you, then we have to accommodate it for everybody else, and then it's not really a law anymore. And that was what the developer shared with us when we first bought in here. So the shed does need to be below the fence line, and the canopy, the permanent, you know, the structure, it's a very nice one, I mean, but it does have to come down.
It's one of your cul-de-sac?
I mean, but you can use, we do have people with umbrellas, and those you can put up and take down, you know. My back door neighbor happens to have one, and the nice part about it is it's not...
It's easier to store if there's a big windstorm coming.
I mean, anything that happens, then you've got an opportunity. But I understand your position with the sun. We have had other people who've had the same situation. Initially, there were not even umbrellas allowed in people's backyards, and the accommodation was made because as the community grew and families grew and that kind of thing, then once the developer was out of here, then that was made.
So, therefore, in my case, an umbrella doesn't really protect me much from the sun. Those normal little umbrellas. I'm really not allowed to use the sun. So in my case, I cannot use my yard. That's where it
belongs. No, I can't wait to get big giant ones. Go to the outdoor world, and they got some umbrellas out there.
They're like 15 square. They're 15 inches. They're as big as your awning. They're as big as your awning. They're huge.
Now, am I allowed to have the umbrella?
It's an umbrella, right? I mean, it's an umbrella. And so you can, but you're going to crank it open and you're going to close it. You're going to open it and close it.
I'm a 9929.
These are issues that I've get answers and see what I'm going to do, whether I'm going to put them down, whether I'm going to sell, or whatever.
Well,
but I've got a worse issue, which all these are, you know, my car was parked in the garage and was broken into.
Inside your garage?
Not inside, just in front of the, in other words,
In the driveway.
Oh, okay.
And not only was it broken into, and then the GPS told, 2 or 3 days after, there were strange people going around. My daughter normally lives alone there. And she was really scared to call the police, and they said, yeah, it's happening all the time. So these issues is, you, the board, is there anything, and I've noticed from some of the things that you've had.
Oh, yeah, we've gone door to door.
Robbed. Is there anything that can be done? Maybe put a gate, something? Can you look into something that we can...
Yeah, we're not set up to be a gated community. We don't have... If you
know how the front is.
Hey, I got you. You know those persons who want to let me walk up?
Yes.
That's what I would suggest in this area. That's the best.
The motion sensor light. Yeah. Do you have one?
They're not expensive.
I have them.
It is approved. A motion sensor over your garage or right over in that area over there works great.
And they have something that gives you the silent alarm on the inside, so you know that somebody's outside. Mm. It's a trick.
The second thing I can tell you, because I know where you live, mm-hmm. is that you happen to have a neighbor. Can we turn that recorder off?
There you go. We're done anyway. Okay.
I mean, happen to have someone in there that, as you said, they're a great deal of